Taking your emails and taking your calls. Ignorant and uninformed.
What? So I meant to ask you because the mountain lion was like my favorite spot for a long time. And then the pandemic happened and totally fucking ruined it. Do they still have you order at the counter?
Yeah.
God, I hate that so much.
Do you? Oh man,
it
I fucking ruined
love the
it.
Experience for me.
Really?
It fucking ruined it. I hate Why? It so much. I hate it. I like sitting down, looking at the menu, and ordering. Like I can't. I hate counter service at a breakfast spot. It just
interesting.
I love their food, but I hate that process to the point where I won't go back.
Wow. Like, okay, man.
I mean, I might. I
no,
might. But I won't go there I will not go there regularly.
I love just listening. Like, if I just shut the fuck up in the middle of things, like, you will backtrack yourself into, like, I'm never fucking going back there. Well, maybe I'll go back. Like, we should go tomorrow. And it just fucking warms my heart.
I would go to Sunshine now.
Interesting.
Over Mountain Lion, even though I prefer Mountain Lion's food.
So I appreciate your strong feelings. I do not share your strong feelings. Like, I actually, do I prefer the counter space versus like the old model? I might prefer the counter over like the traditional model of like server dining. But like, yeah, ultimately it comes down to the food to me. And like, sure. Like, what do you like? Wait, how do I get this green chili? Like, what do you need me to do? I got to stand here and order this counter. Like, yeah, great. Like, oh, I need to sit down and talk to this server. Like, that works too. Whatever. As long as this green chili is here, I'll make it work.
Sure. I think I have some anxiety about counter service, just like knowing what you want from years of like, I don't know, walking up to a fast food place and trying to get you like through, get yourself through it faster. I don't know.
Like the people behind you, like you need
to, you got to know
like
what you
going
want
through security at the airport.
It's like, and you look up, I prefer a menu format. Like,
okay.
I don't know what it is, but I do not enjoy that place nearly as much as I used to.
It's interesting. Like when before you got into the actual reason, I thought it was going to be about the location and like you had a fondness for the old physical location, which was very charming in its own right.
Yeah.
In the like kitschy diner sort of way. But I had no idea. Does it extend to like lunch and dinner places, or do you think this is a breakfast only preference that you possess?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think cool. We don't do a lot of like restaurants anymore. We like, and again, the pandemic kind of put an end to that for my family. Like we don't really go out to restaurant. Like we'll get takeaway. That's about it. Like, you know, we'll go get carry out from JJ's maybe once a couple. But even that, like, man, it just costs $80 anymore, like, to get
food. Dude, yeah.
And I'm like, ugh. And then, like, so we'll go to empanadas sometimes. We get empanadas to go.
Yeah.
At Los Argentos, which I like.
Yeah. Okay.
But even that, it's like $30 for six of them. And you're just like, that seems like a lot. I don't know why.
No, shit has gotten expensive, man.
It's expensive. Yeah. So,
especially up here.
Yeah, but I haven't been out to, I think, I don't know. It's also like, you know, we've gone to a restaurant, I think once or twice with Ryan, with my 3-year-old.
Sure.
And that, it's a whole other experience. You know, it's not the same as like going out to eat with adults. And
no.
You know, so it's a whole other thing.
Yeah. I mean, at some point you should probably teach that kid how to be in a restaurant. I don't know at what time.
No, he does fine. It's just different, you know, cause you got to have like crayons and you got to have the toy and you got to like,
sure.
You know, you got to keep him entertained and it's like, you know, you got to watch that he doesn't spill everything. It's not as relaxing as just going to a restaurant with a group of your friends or your family or,
sure,
you know, and he'll be fine eventually, but
sure.
You know, he'll, I don't think it's a behavior thing. I don't think he's actually probably very well, but he's for many 3-year olds. I think he's pretty well behaved.
Ooh. But I don't know. Never been out with him. I don't know. No, I can't know. Give you. I can't give you any outside feedback.
Did you? No, we went. Oh, yeah. No, you weren't there. We went out to Hacienda for Robert's birthday last summer, late fall, early fall.
Nice.
And that was like one of the first restaurant experiences I remember having with him.
Yeah.
And he did okay. I think now he'd do a little bit better, but
yeah,
he's working on like patience and waiting, and he hates it. So he doesn't like waiting for anything.
I mean, like, tell him his Uncle Max feels him on that and is with him right there.
Yeah.
And it's even worse now because so much is like on demand and like available with not having to wait ever.
I mean, even the selections of like his, you know,
the selections.
Yeah. Well, the way TV works now is just so weird compared to like, I think about it. It's like, okay, well, like, you know, if I wanted to watch, even when I was a kid, I wanted to watch Sesame Street. I had to wait until it was on and make sure I was watching it at the right time.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, which season of the 47 years of Sesame Street do you want to watch? And like, you know.
Immediately.
Yeah. You could and then, watch that one. Be like, I don't like this video.
Yeah. I mean, like you look at everything. Like I mean, it's nice and it's convenient to have like all of this stuff available instantaneously, but I don't know if it's good for us.
Oh, I'm sure it's not.
Yeah. I mean,
it just rots our brains to the point where like,
I mean, maybe, but like you just talk about, I mean, I think a lot of time about.
It's addicting, I will say, for sure.
Like
courtship. I doom scroll all the time.
Like, dude. Okay. So I don't doom scroll, but, I mean, every once in a while, but even just like waiting to hear back from someone via text, right? Like I think about 100 years ago, and just like, what if you had to send letters by, like, what if letters were the only way you could communicate with people from, like, didn't live next to you, right? And so, like, you would ask these questions, like, how was your day? And like, oh, I hope you were, you know, whatever, obviously, I think the letter would probably be more than one sentence. But then, like, you wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks, months for the reply, and just like what? Yeah, I don't know. I just think about that and how much
mail correspondence was the only way.
Yeah,
but even before the telegraph, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, no, and like if you were courting a lover across the distance and like or like wanted to know about your friend's life, I mean, granted, like how do you meet these people and like there's a whole set of other logistics that would go into this. But as I have tried to like court various women over like this digital technology that we have now, it's like, fuck, man, I can't even like, dude, if there was like 6 weeks between correspondences and stuff, and like I see how I am when there's 6 hours between correspondences, like, fuck, dude, I would be like a wreck.
Yeah, that would be kind of rough for sure. I would be like,
but I think it's made us more anxious. Like, I think we are.
Oh, for sure.
I think like I would be willing to bet that the technological world that we find ourselves in now has made us more anxious and more pessimistic. Like I feel as though our muscles for like, entertaining the best case scenarios, might have been stronger when patience and waiting were like, I don't know, more common than they are now.
I think you're right. Like, it's the instant gratification is great, but I think it does something to our souls. I don't know. Like, it just makes us impatient and anxious, like you said, but like unable to deal with
uncertainty.
Yeah, uncertainty and
Like
I think that's entirely where like FOMO, fear of missing out, comes from. Right. Because you can see little glimpses of like, oh, the world is, and again, social media is a terrible, terrible thing. I think we'll look back in 50 years and be like, how was this legal? Like, you know,
oh dude, it will be like, I'm pretty sure I am on record on this podcast being like, no, it will be like when you and I watch old clips of the news and they're like smoking cigarettes at the news desk, we'll be like, are you fucking serious? Like, we gave this shit to kids. Like, it's terrible.
Be like, yeah, when the kids had to know how to shoot rifles to keep the engines are from their caravans.
I am with you. No, like our tolerance for uncertainty, my tolerance for uncertainty. Like that's actually something I've been like actively trying to work on in these last couple weeks was like not just entertaining worst case scenarios, but like giving the other side at least as much airspace as the negative. And it's not like it has been a fucking slog, man.
It is a slog. It's true. But breakfast. I miss simple things like being able to sit down and order my goddamn breakfast.
I mean, you can. You just can't go to the spot with the best green chili. No. To me, the green chili, like, it doesn't bother me nearly as much as it bothers you. I had no idea until this conversation that it bothered you.
Yeah. But we should get breakfast soon, sometime.
Okay.
That would be nice.
Yeah, cool. Like, on the heels of the frustrating week that I've had, like, I'm in no hurry to make
plans
and proclamation. Maybe, like, the end of next week. But, like, I really would love a couple.
No, recoup. Let's rest, recoup.
Being... getting some sort of momentum.
I think that's a valid reasoning. So there, yeah.
Yeah.
You let me know when you want to get something, when we can hang out.
Thanks, man.
We're still trying to, you know, do all of our other things, the podcast,
the
YouTube videos, the playing D&D.
I mean, I appreciate that we do get to spend a lot of time together. And we do like get to hang out, but like there are certain conversations and places that are easier to get to perhaps when we are like sitting down and don't have cameras and microphones on. As much as I applaud, like I feel like we're good about being vulnerable and speaking, in the settings that we do have.
For sure.
Yeah.
And we do it for the people, you know, we want them to. We do it for the people.
No, we do
it for the people. If you're liking this podcast, make sure you subscribe and like it. Send us a topic or a note. Just a hey, what's up?
To that point.
ignorantanduninformed@gmail.com.
I think it's real fucked up and ironic that like we got that email from Jeff F. who gave us topics and things to talk about. And we haven't been able to get Jeff. The three of us haven't been able to sit down and record since that email came, which was like
February.
I mean, no, beginning January? Of March, end of February, probably. Maybe. I could look up, but it's just April wild, now, man.
Which blows my mind.
I mean, it's almost fucking May, but yes.
Yeah. It's gonna be May. I gotta figure out. I keep getting all these pop-ups for Steam of like people I'm friends with when they play games.
A lot of
my friends play games in the middle of the fucking day. And like, it keeps popping up and I'm like, what? And then when they switch games, which apparently my buddy, Logan does all the time. Like he's just like, I'm like, what? How are you playing?
Yeah.
It's like how to turn that off. That is so distracting.
Don't you people work? Like, what did you have? Like, how are you playing games in the middle of the afternoon? Yeah.
Exactly. And speaking of, you know, easily distracted, I am just like, you know, one small thing sends me on a spiral. Sure. And I'm like,
I don't know if I'm any different. I just go to possibly absurd lengths to make sure that I don't have to see those distractions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you've inspired me, Max, because I think one thing that we've glossed over here is like your buddy KJ, who you hadn't seen in a while, but like I think you have a very good talent for, you know, keeping in touch with people and forming those kind of long lasting friendships and relationships where you like.
Thanks.
And I was thinking a little bit about like, you know, this email that I still owe you about your superpower.
Sure.
And that's definitely part of it. But
interesting.
It's like it's, you are able to elicit meaningful insights into people. And okay. that is like, even that they themselves, I don't think realize until they're halfway in a conversation with you, but you're a great conversationalist. And that, while that in itself is not a, particularly you're very adept at it, and it is a pretty, maybe it's a lost art in some ways, but you know, I think that you get to the meat of people's, you know, conversation very fast and very quickly, and that people are more open with you than I think they are with their therapists. I don't know. So that's sort of the vein of where I'm okay. going.
Dude, I appreciate
that's the Cliff's Notes.
Okay, no. Thank you, man. I thank you for those compliments, and I appreciate that. You know, like in fact, we was talking about this with the Wednesday group about just the idea of blind spots and how, like, you know, mm-hmm. oftentimes the things that we're so fucking good at, like we are completely oblivious to because they're like second nature. And so I think it's important. Like, I think it's valuable to be able to like have folks that can help you, like you just did with me. And I would also thank you also because I have asked a handful of people, and afterwards I've been like, oh shit. We're like, well, if Dave asked me that, or if you asked me that, like, how would I respond? And like, honestly, I would just like complete paralysis of like, I don't even know where I would fucking start. Like, so I don't even know how to answer the question for other people that I asked you to answer for me. And I appreciate that. I psychological safety might be a way of like, couching that, because I do like even waiting tables and bartending. I remember often, if I would have like enough time and I wasn't in the fucking weeds and could actually talk with somebody, you know, the words like, I can't believe I told you that, are not unfamiliar for me to hear, from like strangers in a relative short amount of time. I think with conversation, like, it's interesting that, flow, right, is something that I, certainly appreciate and think about, but I think, you know, conversation is like interpersonal flow, right? It's like, there's a dynamic. And so I think that a lot of people, certainly not everybody, but like to have a good conversation, you need to have, a partner who's there with you, right? Like being a good dancer, like you can't, man, you're not going to win any tango competition if one person isn't into it, right? Like you gotta have a partner that's there with you. And I think that a lot of times, like we live in a very shallow culture. And, that's like, a place. Yeah. And I think that like depth is nourishing in a way. I appreciate that. Like I have a knack for keeping people in my life, which is a good skill. Mm-hmm. It turns out. Mm-hmm. I would be curious if you think, if I am a better writer or conversationalist. Not an answer I need right now. I'm happy to take one if there's like something that immediately popped up, but that has been like a follow-up question that I've been asking. Just thinking about like next artistic, creative pursuits, like, dude, like getting this class done. Like I like told Colleen, I've told everyone, like I am not taking on any other projects until something comes off the plate. But I've been thinking about like what to do next. And
well, I can tell you, I've had far more conversations than I have read your writing.
True.
So I don't know if I have a very good
That's fair.
Sample
pool. It has been like 12 years of conversations.
I guess that's not even entirely true. I've read 3 of your books that you wrote.
Just two.
Just
two. Two and maybe some columns.
Your dad's first book, you didn't write that one.
No.
Right. I was like, I read this book.
Yeah, that nice.
Dog. Quiet. Yeah. Well, so it got me. So sort of with your, you know, you're also very like, I would say, spiritual person as well. Like in the way that like you key into the universe and like, you know, the things that the universe is telling you. And I guess maybe it's, I don't know exactly what the word is for that, but like, aware in a way. And so like my other thought is like, because I've tried to tune myself into like things the universe is telling me. And it's happened in a weird way that like, I'll get these moments of like, I'll wake up thinking about a person who I haven't thought about in, you know, years.
Yeah.
And then just like send them an email or a, you know, an Instagram message.
That's awesome.
And just be like, hey, I just wanted to, you know, you were, you know, I don't know. It's been a little different each time. It's had like 3 times.
Yeah.
And of like, hey, you know, I think you need to hear that, you know, you're a valuable person. And like, you know, I appreciate you and all this stuff.
Dude.
And the responses I've gotten back from that have been like rekindling some of these friendships and stuff.
Yeah.
Which has been really kind of interesting.
That's great.
It always seems to be at a moment when like they needed to hear something. So,
yeah.
Which I thought was really, really great. And I appreciate it. And they've been very appreciative. And it's been nice to like reconnect with some people who, especially after sort of leaving the theater career behind, which was a good social, you know, excuse to see people who come into town for a contract or something and then, you know, leave. But we have a relationship that spans over a decade or whatever. But
sure.
You know, so it's just sort of been and there was always this like social paralysis too of like, you know, in the age of social media where you keep tabs on people over the internet, like without actually connecting with them. But, you know, so that's been an interesting new chapter that I've been trying to key into, listen to, and then act on.
That's fucking great. That warms my heart. And I think it is wonderful. Like, especially if you were like sending kind words and like love out to people, like so few people, like who the fuck is going to get a text from someone they haven't talked to in a while? Just be like, hey man, I just want you to like full of like kind, nice things and love and be like, fuck that guy. Like, that's not like everybody, like always reach out, man. Like, people don't even know that they need to hear from you when they do. And I think it's awesome that you have like listened to that intuition and like sent those texts, because it's easy not to, right? You can easily just like brush your teeth and forget and not take the 45 seconds or what have you. So I think it's fucking great that you're doing that, man.
Yeah, thanks. It's been insightful and it's been introspective, I guess, too.
It's
like,
that's good.
It's always, you know, not that I have the touch or anything, but like every once in a while, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like the universe needs me at occasional moments. The universe, God, whatever you want to call it, but like,
yeah,
something bigger than me.
It's,
I can tune into in some way, which is.
Well, and I think like any, and I think that's like a muscle, right? Mm-hmm. Where, some people I'm sure have greater and lesser capacities in general, but everyone can get better. And so I think that, that it's awesome, dude. Like I look forward to 6 months from now or what have you, if you like, I invite you to continue, doing that and just seeing, what else unfolds as you strengthen that muscle.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, man. No, please keep me posted. I think it's great. And I think this, like, I I don't know if you want to call it like a religious impulse or if it's like collective effervescence or purpose or just like having, like, I think that's a facet of health is like having some sort of spiritual connection. Like, and I think that maybe it's like a sense of belonging. I don't know. It feels like it is a trait that is very universally human trait. But it feels in this like technological modern society that it gets very, very overlooked. But no, I mean, I think like, yeah, every day, if you can do something good for your mind, your body, your emotions, your spirit, and like your social connections every day, I think that goes a long way to health.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get healthy in more ways than one. I'm trying to eat better too. I've just been eating like crap the last year.
Yeah, so right on.
You know.
Okay.
Got a lot of pieces moving. As kind of weird and kind of shitty this week has been, I feel like I am making some positive steps. And
nice, dude.
Trying to, and maybe that's what I'm getting pushback from.
Positive like, steps. You know, are people trying to hold you down?
I don't know. Like the, you know, just trying to shift that mindset and like,
oh, yeah,
being, I don't know, not blocked, but like it's difficult to incorporate change. And maybe that's where the frustration is being pushed from, you know?
Yeah. Well, so
I'm pushing against that. My own disappointment, frustration, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting. Tomorrow is actually an astrological conjunction, which like typically when two planets come together, that's like the beginning of a cycle. And so two planets that only meet every 14 years are actually coming together tomorrow. And it's like planets of like shakeups and chaos and liberation and innovation. And is kind of like coming together with the planet of like expansion.
What are the two planets?
Jupiter and Uranus. And so like, yeah, they meet every 14 years, I guess, or thereabouts, but it happens to be tomorrow. And so like a lot of what I've read has been talking about like the shedding of old skin and like the breaking out of cocoons and the starts of new cycles. And so like when you were talking about, specifically when you mentioned like pushing against something, like the cocoon imagery has been strong lately. And so, you know, like, I don't know if butterflies actually get to the point where they like come out of their soup and start like pushing against the fucking boundaries they're in, but like liberation and expansion are big themes. So the astrologers and mystics would tell you,
well,
at the moment.
I love it. And I think that's a great place to take us out. So that's a great thought to end on. So thank you all Max. Thank you for downloading and listening to Ignorant and Uninformed. We've been your hosts, Mr. Max Sarak, Stan Sarak.
I love you, Ben.
I love you too, man. I'm Ben Hollywood Whitmore, and this has been Ignorant and Uninformed. Hopefully next time you hear us, we'll have a Jeff back in the studio. And if in the meantime, you just want to say like, hey, where's Jeff? Send us an email to ignorantanduninformed@gmail.com. We know he's what the people come for. We get it.
Hey, man.
Yeah. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Hot ass, fresh, and salt up in your grill. Peace out.